from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 95 to 5 kHz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we will present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, My Indonesia, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program for today with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news. This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is to take firm action against his staff's failing to handle the fires. Indonesian President Joko Widodo expects utilization of great potential of Syariah economics. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded the rules about handling forest and land fire for the year 2018 is still the same as that of in previous years. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo in a briefing before participants of the National Coordination Meeting on Forest and Land Fire Control 2018 at the State Palace, Jakarta, Tuesday, February the 6th. President Joko Widodo said the regulation applies to the regional police chief and commander of the military resort in each region. Since 2016, the president has claimed to have pledged to the Indonesian military TNI commander and Indonesian police chief to take firm action against their staff who are unable to handle forest and land fires. Indonesian President Joko Widodo asked the National Committee on Syariah Finance to take measures in developing the high potential of Syariah economy in Indonesia. On the opening of the plenary meeting of the committee on Monday at the presidential office in Jakarta, the president said the development of Syariah economic potential should be aimed at becoming the main driver of the national economy. In addition, according to him, the development of Syariah financial industry should also be aimed at encouraging productive development. The president also hopes the National Committee of Syariah Finance to expand the Islamic microfinance institution at boarding schools in Indonesia. In addition, the president also highlighted the importance of zakat and wakaf management reform to be able to overcome the poverty and to suppress inequality.
Saya ingin menekankan bahwa dalam pengembangan ekonomi syariah jangan sampai kita hanya menjadi target pasar.
I want to emphasize that in the development of syariah economy, we should not only become the target market and industrial products of other countries and consumers. With the huge market potential in our country, we must be the main driver of syariah economy. In addition, the development of Islamic finance industry must be really beneficial for productive things, including supporting efforts to reduce poverty in order to suppress the number of inequality. As the country with the largest Muslim population in the world, Indonesia has enormous potential to develop the financial and economic sectors of Sharia. President Joko Widodo mentioned that in the Sharia financial industry sector, Sharia banking assets continued to increase in 2017, reaching 435 trillion rupiah, or about 5.8% of the total banking assets of Indonesia. And so does the Syariah capital market, where the market share of Sukuk Indonesia reached 19% of all Sukuk published by various countries. In addition, total assets of the non-bank Islamic financial industry have also doubled in the last 5 years. According to the president, Indonesia also has enormous potential in collecting religious social funds such as pilgrim funds, zakat funds, wakaf funds, as well as funds of infaq and alms. Some sectors of Islamic economics that can be developed include the fashion industry, Muslim fashion, halal food industry, pharmaceutical industry, and also the tourism sector. Human rights violations on Rohingya ethnic group in Rakhine, Myanmar are highlighted by the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights at the Jakarta International Conversation on Human Rights held by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Monday, February the 5th. In his remarks, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein, said genocide and ethnic cleansing are likely to have taken place in Rakhine, Myanmar. The statement is based on the direct testimony of the refugees.
The atrocities recounted by the refugees, who constitute well over half the Rohingya living in northern Rakhine, include brutal killings, enforced disappearances, arbitrary detention, atrocious sexual violence, and destruction of homes and livelihoods. Although any definitive finding should be made by an appropriate tribunal, my office considers that acts of genocide and ethnic cleansing may have occurred.
Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein added that in addition to violating the Rohingya ethnicity in Rakhine, the government of Myanmar also refused to grant citizenship, legal status and birth certificates to the Rohingya in Rakhine, which has implications for the loss of their rights as citizens of Myanmar. According to him, this humanitarian crisis is very serious and impact on the security of Southeast Asian region. Therefore, he hopes the government of Myanmar can solve this crisis by focusing on the socio-economic development plan in Rakhine. Business and human rights issues are one of the new issues related to the implementation of human rights globally. The issue has become a concern of many countries around the world after the United Nations passed the United Nations Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights, or UNGP's United Nations Guiding or UNGP's on BNHR in 2011. This guide becomes the reference of many countries around the world in formulating policies related to business and human rights. However, in addition to guiding these principles, the state should look at how the characteristics of business actors operating in the country. This was conveyed by the Director General of Multilateral Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Febrian Alfianto Rudiat, in his speech at the opening of Regional Workshop on Business and Human Rights in Jakarta, February the 5th. The two-day workshop was the initiation of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in cooperation with the European Union, the International NGO Forum on Indonesia Development, or INFID, and the Indonesian Global Compact Network.
The atrocities recounted by the refugees, who constitute well over
each country has its characteristics that need to be carefully scrutinized and certainly become the factor in the formulation of business and human rights policy. Indonesia, for example, micro, small and medium enterprises, or MSMEs, are the majority of economic actors in the country. In addition, there are also state-owned enterprises that certainly has its own characteristics. Therefore, dissemination and enhancement of stakeholder understanding is essential. Rudiat added that the growth of industrial and investment sectors in Southeast Asia is now one of the factors driving countries in the region to formulate policies related to business and human rights. Indonesia is a country that pioneers the launching of business and human rights policies through the National Business Action Plan and Human Rights initiated by the National Commission on Human Rights, Komnas HAM, in cooperation with the Institute for Policy Research and Advocacy, ELSAM, in 2016. This news comes to you over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Army wants the targeted achievement of strategic planning in 2018 at the 101st Day Program of the Indonesian Military Tenai Commander Air Marshal Hadi Cahyanto. It was stated by the Indonesian Army Chief of Staff General Mulyono to media on the sidelines of leaders' meeting of the Indonesian Army 2018 at the headquarters of the Indonesian Army in Jakarta on Monday, February the 5th. Mulyono said the targets achieved are like boards of organization, doctrine, personnel, capability, development, material, and the use of power for war and non-war. However, related to the main weaponry system, the Indonesian Army TNIAD will focus on supporting facilities equipment. I completed. I will not procure new main weaponry system, but only completing what we have bought. I see that the new main weaponry system in 2018 and 2019 will come. What we have already purchased must be completed to be operated. General Mulyono explained, the Indonesian military continuously pays attention to prioritize scale in procuring new weapon, which is based on the budget. So the Indonesian military wants all the main weaponry system can be operated soon at the second strategic planning. Persahabatan Hospital, as a national respiration referral hospital, has a vision to become a leading respiratory center in Asia-Pacific by 2019. Persahabatan Hospital Director Muhammad Ali Toha said that the hospital has signed a memorandum of understanding with the International Labour Organization of the ILO or the International Labour Organization on Tuesday, February 6, 2018, in Jakarta. To RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday, he explained the cooperation is done in the field of handling pneumoconiosis patient. Pneumoconiosis is a disease in the lungs caused by working in places of high pollution such as cement plants, mines, and so forth. The signing of this cooperation is in the form of certificates to doctors who can handle pneumoconiosis.
Pertama diagnosis dulu, karena di negara kita ini banyak sekali penderita pneumoconiosis.
First, we must diagnose, because in our country, a lot of people with pneumoconiosis are not detected. So we continue to educate them. Doctors are taught to diagnose pneumoconiosis. From the region, all will come here to learn. After that, a study will be conducted to find out how big the case of pneumoconiosis in Indonesia is, how severe the case is, then the countermeasures. Based on the ILO data of 2013, 30% to 50% of workers in developing countries suffer from pneumoconiosis. Indonesia is a developing country, one of which economic support is industry sector, that is, mining industry. Muhammad Ali Toha further explained that Persahabatan Hospital has a vision to become the leading respiratory center hospital in Asia-Pacific by 2019. To be a leader in Asia-Pacific, it must have a quality service and international standard. Persahabatan Hospital has already had national accreditation, and this year it is targeted to have international accreditation. And the last item, Indonesian aerospace company PT Dirgantara Indonesia, PTDI, will again participate in the International Singapore Air Show 2018 at the Singapore Changi Exhibition Center. The participation of the company in the biennial event is an effort to expand the marketing of various products and services, especially N290 Nurtanio aircraft. The company's corporate secretary Ade Yuyu Wahyuna, in a press release on Tuesday, February 6, said that at Singapore Air Show, N290 Nurtanio aircraft will be excellent. In addition, it also markets other featured products such as CN235-220, and NC212I. Ade Yuyu Wahyuna asserted N290 Nurtanio aircraft is a passenger aircraft with a regulation of CASR Part 23. According to Ade Yuyu, N290 aircraft will be produced in stages. In the early stages, it will produce 6 units. Furthermore, by running the automation system in the manufacturing process, delivery ability will continue to increase until reaching 36 units per year. The Singapore Air Show 2018 is open to the public on February 10 to 11. And listener to Andy News, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo is to take firm action against his staff's failing to handle the fires. President Joko Widodo expects utilization of great potential of Syariah economics. And listener, that was the news. Commentary. Comments on actual national and international issues from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with a commentary for today entitling Through Palm Oil Diplomacy, Indonesia Attempts to Build Its Palm Oil Image. Palm oil,
is Indonesia's superior product. The Central Bureau of Statistics, PBS, noted that it was similar to 2016 that in 2017, Indonesia's export of palm oil and its derivative products was still the largest foreign exchange contributor to Indonesia. Professor Bustanul Arifin from the Faculty of Agriculture, University of Lampung, predicts that up to 10 years, the volume and export value of palm oil and its derivative products will continue to increase. However, he reminds business people and government actors that sustainability matter will continue to be an obstacle to palm oil export. During the 40th Annual Summit of Asian-European Union Partnership Cooperation in Manila, the Philippines, on November 14, 2017, President Joko Widodo asserted before the participants of the summit that palm oil is very close to alleviating poverty in Indonesia, narrowing the gap, and building an inclusive economy. Otherwise, the European Parliament supported the ban on the use of palm oil as environmentally friendly fuel by 2021. In fact, Europe is one of the main export destinations of Indonesian palm oil. Minister of Trade, Enggarti Astolukita, and Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, said that this is a black campaign in Europe towards Indonesian palm oil products. The European Union policy is considered discriminatory. President Joko Widodo requested that the discrimination of the European Union against palm oil be stopped. A number of attitudes and policies that are considered to harm economic interest and damage the image of palm oil producing countries must also be eliminated. Meanwhile, economic observer from the Institute for the Development of Economics and Finance, Bima Yudhistira, believes that Indonesia is still dependent on traditional markets, which reach about 70% of the total export destination countries. He views that in 2018, Indonesia should find out alternative markets such as Pakistan, South Africa, and North Africa, which are considered very potential. Since 2011, Indonesia has established a policy mandating a sustainable palm oil governance and certification system, so-called Indonesian Sustainable Palm Oil. This policy is intended to improve the competitiveness of Indonesian palm oil in the global market, with more attention to environmental issues such as greenhouse gas emission and so on. To build the image of the palm oil products that has ISPO around the world, especially in export destination countries, Indonesian diplomats overseas must play a major role. These policies is known as palm oil diplomacy. To support the government efforts to carry out palm oil diplomacy, the Policy and Development Agency, BPPK, at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, cooperates with Pertamina University to conduct an applicative study. The study of international relation of Pertamina University is focused on the energy sector in Indonesia. On February 1, 2018, a memorandum of understanding was signed between the two institutions. The BPPK of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs considers Pertamina University to be a cooperation partner in producing studies and recommendation related to Indonesia's foreign policy, including strategic commodity sectors such as palm oil. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with 1819, Sir Thomas Stamford Raffles found Singapore. Sir Thomas Stamford Raffles, FRS, was born on July 6, 1781, and died on July 5, 1826, was a British statesman, Lieutenant Governor of British Java from 1811 until 1815, and Governor General of Bengkulen from 1817 until 1822, best known for his founding of modern Singapore. Stamford Raffles founded Colonial Singapore in 1819 as a trading post of the British East India Company after the latter's collapse in 1858. The islands were ceded to the British Raj as a crown colony. During the Second World War, Singapore was occupied by Japan. It gained independence from the United Kingdom in 1963 by federating with other former British territories to form Malaysia, but separated 2 years later over ideological differences, becoming a sovereign nation in 1965. After early years of turbulence and despite lacking natural resources and a hinterland, the nation developed rapidly as an Asian tiger economy based on external trade and its workforce. Next is from 1952. Elizabeth II becomes Queen Regnant of the United Kingdom and the other Commonwealth realms upon the death of her father, George VI. Elizabeth II has been Queen of the United Kingdom, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand since February 6, 1952. Additionally, she is head of the Commonwealth and Queen of 12 countries that have become independent since her accession. Elizabeth's many historic visits and meetings include a state visit to the Republic of Ireland and visits to or from 5 popes. She has seen major constitutional changes such as devolution in the United Kingdom, Canadian patriation, and the decolonization of Africa. She has reigned through various wars and conflicts involving many of her realms. She is the oldest and longest reigning current monarch and head of state. The last is from 1989. The Round Table Talks starts in Poland, thus marking the beginning of the overthrow of communism in Eastern Europe. The Polish Round Table Talks took place in Warsaw, Poland, from April 5, 1989. The government initiated the discussion with the banned trade union Solidarność and other opposition groups in an attempt to defuse growing social unrest. The Polish communists, led by General Jaruzelski, hoped to co-opt prominent opposition leaders into the ruling group without making major changes in the political power structure. In reality, the talks radically altered the shape of the Polish government and society. The roundtable sessions were of momentous importance to the future political developments in Poland. They paved the way to a free and democratic Poland, as well as the final abolition of communism in Poland. The events in Poland precipitated and gave momentum to the fall of the entire European Communist bloc. The Yalta Arrangement collapsed soon after the events in Poland. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Indonesia in Economy, International Politics, Sports, Environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia. The topic of My Indonesia today is Four Pillars of Nationality Strengthening Harmony of Indonesia. The Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, MPR, continues to socialize four pillars of nationality for the Indonesian young generation. From time to time, the Assembly or MPR continues to socialize the four pillars of nationality which are supporting the existence of the Indonesian nation. MPR member Irgan Hairul Mahfiz stated this when socializing four pillars of nationality to the students of Muhammadiyah University in Kupang on the 3rd of February, as quoted by poskupang.com. The event was also attended by the chairman of the Indonesian Muslim Brotherhood or PARMUSI, Usama Hisham. Irgan Hairul Mafis explained the four pillars, namely Pancasila, the 1945 Constitution, Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, and the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia, is like a house. If it is not strong, it will collapse, and there will be endless problems like what happened in the Middle East. Therefore, Irgan Hairul Mafis asked for the House of Indonesia to be maintained well by all elements of the nation, especially by the younger generation. Irgan Hairul Mafis stated this time, the fast access to information today will affect the mindset. He reminded the potential of Indonesian nation unity, which has a variety of languages, ethnic culture, and has thousands of islands, has been guarded so far. Besides, this diversity is the basic capital of development. Indonesian people are very grateful to live in Indonesia, which, although different but still one, he emphasized that Indonesian people live in a spirit of peace and not as in other countries that continue to fluctuate. Meanwhile, chairman of the Indonesian Muslim Brotherhood PARMUSI, Usama Hisham, asked the young generation, especially in East Nusa Tenggara, to keep Pancasila. According to Usama, the young generation must hold these four pillars of nationality and must build good relationship and peace with anyone regardless of the difference. Hisham explained through the socialization of the four pillars of nationality, the young generation are required to keep the people remain safe and peaceful. Usama Hisham explained that the first up to the fifth precept of Pancasila are interrelated, and these have brought the relationship of brotherhood among the people. He reminded the youth to understand the four pillars of nationalism as a mutual consensus that cannot be separated from one another. That was My Indonesia on Four Pillars of Nationality, Strengthening Harmony of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Ania Sana with News in Brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo reminded the rules about handling forest and land fire for the year 2018 is still the same as that of in previous years. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo in a briefing before participants of the National Coordination Meeting on Forest and Land Fire Control 2018 at the State Palace Jakarta Tuesday, February 6. President Joko Widodo asked the National Committee on Sharia Finance to take measures in developing the high potential of Sharia economy in Indonesia on the opening of the plenary meeting of the committee on Monday. At the presidential office in Jakarta, the president said the development of Sharia economic potential should be aimed at becoming the main driver of the national economy. Human rights violations on Rohingya ethnic group in Rakhine, Myanmar, are highlighted by the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights at the Jakarta International Conversation on Human Rights held by the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on Monday, February the 2nd. On Monday, February the 5th, in his remarks, the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Zaid Ra'ad Al Hussein, said genocide and ethnic cleansing are likely to have taken place in Rakhine, Myanmar. Business and human rights issues are one of the new issues related to the implementation of human rights globally. The issue has become a concern of many countries around the world after the United Nations passed the United Nations Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights, UNGPs, on BNHR in 2011. The Indonesian Army wants the targeted achievement of strategic planning in 2018 at the 101st Day Program of the Indonesian Military TNI Commander Air Marshal Hadi Cahyanto. Persahabatan Hospital, as a national respiration referral hospital, has a vision to become a leading respiratory center in Asia-Pacific by 2019. And the last item, Indonesian aerospace company PT Dirgantara Indonesia, PTDI, will again participate in the International Singapore Air Show 2018 at the Singapore Changi Exhibition Center. And listener, that was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOR. Today's sound.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. Welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary art, fine art, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you traveling to East Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. January the 8th, President Joko Widodo paid a working visit to Kupang, East Nusa Tenggara. During the visit, the President distributed the Smart Indonesia Card, or KIP, gave a public lecture at the Muhammadiyah University of Kupang, and handed over 2,500 land certificates to the people. On Monday afternoon, the President and First Lady Iriana Joko Widodo departed to Rote Regency. In Rote, the President briefed the National Coordination Meeting of Bara JP, or Volunteers Troop for Jokowi President 2018. Starting his second working day visit in Rote Ndau District, the President enjoyed the beauty of Nembrala Beach. At Nembrala Beach, the President washed his hands and face with the seawater. After the event, Nembrala Beach became the public spotlight. Nembrala Beach is one of the leading tourism destinations in Rote Island. For a long time, Nembrala Beach is known as the beach with world-class waves. In 2016, Nembrala Beach won the Award of Anugerah Pesona Indonesia, or the Indonesian Wonder Award, as the first winner of the most popular surfing spot category. The waves at Nembrala Beach can reach 7 meters high in August to October. Not surprisingly, many World Surfing Championship events were taken place at Nembrala Beach. The beach location itself is located on the Rote Island. Nembrala Beach takes 1 hour drive from Saudali DC Airport, Rote. You can use the plane from Eltari Airport, Kupang. In addition to the awesome waves, Nembrala Beach has white sand. Traveling to the beach, you can find many things to do such as fishing, swimming, surfing, and much more. Fishing is one of the most popular activities because the sea around the coast has many species of fish. The most common fish species found in the sea including tuna gigi anjing or dog-tooth tuna, Spanish mackerel, yellowtin tuna, trefali, wahoo, sailfish, sea perch, kerapu, and marlin. Listener, you can do another fun activity at Nembrala Beach, such as snorkeling.
With snorkeling, you can enjoy the beautiful underwater life, including colorful corals, large pelagic and small reef fish, as well as beautiful seashells and octopus. Other interesting activities including surfing, trips to the village and island exploration. With the island exploration, you can visit other islands nearby such as Dona, Do'o and Doa. To stay overnight on the beach, you need not worry, because they have available many facilities from luxury resort to simple lodgings on the Nemrala Beach. Listener, that was the regular Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Nemrala Beach. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary and guiding you to use them in a conversation. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, RRI Foreign Broadcasting Station, and the Agency for Language Development, the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is, Mengapa Anda ke Jogja? Or in English, Why are you going to Jogja? Next, I will give you an example of a conversation entitled, Why are you going to Jogja? As always, I will utter sentence by sentence twice slowly and you may follow after me. This conversation is between Tony, who comes from England. He sits next to Sinta. They are in the plane cabin on their way to Yogyakarta. Sinta, mengapa Anda ke Jogja? Mengapa Anda ke Jogja? In English, Why are you going to Jogja? Tony, saya ke Jogja untuk berwisata. Saya ke Jogja untuk berwisata. I'm going to Jogja for a travel. Untuk apa Anda ke sana? Untuk apa Anda ke sana? In English, why do you go there? Untuk seminar. Untuk seminar. For a seminar. Oh, seminar tentang apa? Seminar tentang apa? Oh, what kind of seminar? Seminar tentang bahasa dan budaya Indonesia. Seminar tentang bahasa dan budaya Indonesia. A seminar on Indonesian language and culture. Wah, hebat. Wah, hebat. That's great. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce the vocabulary and phrases related to today's theme. I will say the words twice and you may repeat after me. Anda ke Jogja untuk apa? Anda ke Jogja untuk apa? In English, why are you going to Jogja? Untuk apa Anda ke Jogja? Untuk apa Anda ke Jogja? In English, why are you going to Jogja? Anda ke sana untuk apa? Anda ke sana untuk apa? In English, why are you going there? Untuk apa Anda ke sana? Untuk apa Anda ke sana? Why are you going there? Saya ke Jogja untuk berwisata. Saya ke Jogja untuk berwisata. I'm going to Jogja to travel. Saya ke Jogja untuk seminar tentang bahasa dan budaya Indonesia. Saya ke Jogja untuk seminar tentang bahasa dan budaya Indonesia. I'm going to Jogja for a seminar on Indonesian language and culture. Why someone goes to a place, you can ask mengapa Anda ke Jogja or why are you going to Jogja. To answer it, just say saya ke Jogja untuk, saya ke Jogja untuk, or in English, I'm going to Jogja to or for. Then state your purpose. For example, untuk seminar, in English, for a seminar. Untuk bertemu dengan teman, in English, to meet friends. Untuk berwisata, in English, to travel. Untuk jalan-jalan, in English, for sightseeing. Let's listen to the example. Tony, mengapa Anda ke Jogja? Mengapa Anda ke Jogja? In English, why are you going to Jogja? Sinta, saya ke Jogja untuk bekerja. Saya ke Jogja untuk bekerja. I'm going to Jogja for work. Tony, mengapa Anda ke Jogja? Mengapa Anda ke Jogja? Why are you going to Jogja? Sinta, untuk bertemu teman. Untuk bertemu teman. To see a friend. In everyday conversation, Indonesians usually say more often, saya ke Jogja untuk jalan-jalan. Saya ke Jogja untuk jalan-jalan rather than saya ke Jogja untuk berwisata. Saya ke Jogja untuk berwisata. Or I'm going to Jogja for a sightseeing and not I'm going to Jogja for a travel. For example, mengapa Anda ke sana? Mengapa Anda ke sana? In English, why are you going there? Saya ke sana untuk jalan-jalan saja. Saya ke sana untuk jalan-jalan saja. In English, I'm going there just for a trip. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia today with the topic, why are you going to Jogja? Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia will also hold a quiz with interesting prizes on this program. Let's meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Thank you for listening.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia wherever you are. Welcome back to the regular Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present some dangdut songs. Stay tuned. just listen to the song entitled Colak Colek by dangdut singer Camelia Malik. Composed by her former husband, Renold Panggabean, the song tells about the story of young people who like fun. The song Colak Colek was released in 1977 and presented in different dangdut music at the time. Colak Colek combining pop, salsa and rock music with dangdut music. Dangdut music, which originally considered plebeian, with the presence of the song, dangdut then raised its class and liked by many circles of music lovers. It was proven when the song was dedicated in Camelia Malik live show at Shibuya Seed Hall, Tokyo, Japan. Many Japanese youth were historic and shouted new music born while swaying enjoy the dangdut music. Similarly, in the San Francisco City, Los Angeles, and New York. Even the song Colak Colek received an award from the Military Information Center. The success of the song also strengthened the position of Camelia Malik as a dangdut singer in the country. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kasakusuk by Camelia Malik. Happy listening. listener, the Jakarta-born singer started her career in dangdut music world since the 1970s. She was known as Diva Dangdut Jaipongan because Jaipongan becomes her trademark when performing dangdut songs. Successfully releasing her first song entitled Colak Colek, Camellia then released a song entitled Kasakusuk. Like the previous song, the song was composed by Renold Panggabean. With the success of the song Colak Colek, Renold then inspired to make a song with a quite similar title, Kasakusuk. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Dimana Kemana and Kelangkang Cinta by Camellia Malik. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th Floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.